Welcome back to the DK Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here, my friend and co-host, Dale Ollie. Breaking news here. Not that this week hasn't been full of breaking news, Dale. Lamar Jackson has tested positive for the coronavirus. This means that he cannot play this weekend. There's a lot of questions to be asked about this, Dale. One, we know the game was moved from Thanksgiving to 1:15 Sunday, at Heinz Field. But now, as it's reported, I think four more players tested positive for COVID-19 for the Ravens. This game does seem to be in jeopardy of happening this weekend.
Well, I mean, this was something that we had talked about, because the quarterback has direct contact with the centers, has direct contact with the running backs, so those were the groups of players who were testing positive. It's kind of a situation where you were just kind of waiting for this shoe to drop a little bit. Obviously it's unfortunate for the Ravens, but at the same time, they did this to themselves. I do think that the league is going to play this game. If you listen to the interview that Judy Batista did just 2 days ago with Dr. Alan Sills, the league's chief entomologist or chief doctor, medical officer, they've run all the entomology on this particular strain of the virus, and they feel like they have a pretty good idea of when any of the contacts took place. Now, I don't know if this changes any of that, this new spate of positives, or if this was expected that we got to ride this out. Again, this is why they didn't play Thursday night.
Right.
Because, guys were still going to be testing positive. But Dr. Alan Sills did say that, they expected this thing in the next couple of days to kind of die out. So I mean, they had a pretty good idea of what happened here. The Ravens have to play on Sunday or the game doesn't get played, unless you're going to push it back to Monday. And then you're talking about having to move their Thursday night game
right
out of that slot. And the league's not going to want to do that unless they go ahead and it just causes so many issues. And that's why the NFL has to lower the hammer on these guys. It has to be six figures fines. It has to be multiple draft picks lost, because you've cost the league money. You've cost the league time. You've cost everybody a lot of time and effort here. You have to come down hard on these guys, because if you don't, if you just give them a slap on the wrist, like you gave the Titans, what's going to stop the next team from having this happening?
And this is what we were warning about, the slap on the wrist that you gave the Titans, because now, and like you're alluding to here, we now know that the Ravens head strength and conditioning coach, Steve Saunders, broke several protocols. He didn't wear a mask around the facility. He didn't report having any symptoms when he had the symptoms. He was just ignoring every line of protection that the NFL had set up for teams to keep their facilities safe. He broke all of them. And that has further exposed the rest of the team. And supposedly the Ravens say they haven't seen any witnesses that he did this, but they know that he did this. There's a lot of questions as far as how serious this is. Now, the Ravens have punished this guy, fined him, suspended him, whatever.
I don't care if they made him walk naked in the inner harbor. That's not enough. Not enough. This is one of your employees. This guy's your strength and conditioning coach is a coach. This is one of your coaches. This is no different than if your offensive coordinator did this, if John Harbaugh did this. It doesn't matter. These are the guys who are in charge. And if the guys who are in charge of the team aren't wearing masks and doing the things necessary to keep the players safe, how do you expect the players then to follow the rules?
Exactly.
They can't.
Yeah. And then on top of that, how is this supposed to play out for the guys and the players who did follow the rules, like the Steelers? They put up with it. They lost their tight end last week. Ben Roethlisberger or 2 weeks ago, Ben Roethlisberger had to sit out a whole week from practice because he was a close contact. The Steelers have been following the rules. They already had their bye week stripped from them. And now they're in a situation where they're in flux because of another team's foul ups. I agree with you. A hammer needs to be lowered here. And if I think the one thing we're looking here, Dale, is if they can the continuous days of testing positive can stop by Saturday, I think that will give the NFL the okay to say, you know what, Ravens, you're in this mess because of yourselves. Now you can go play it now that this is stopped springing up every single day. But if it does continue, say Friday and Saturday come and go, Dale, and each day a new player or coach test positive, do you think that will push the NFL to postpone this game even further?
Well, if they're having players still testing positive Saturday, then they can't play the game.
Right.
that's, I mean, or they have to push it back. You know, then you're looking at a Monday or Tuesday situation, in which case the league then has to move that Thursday game. You know, so that's a road they don't want to go down, because, you know, again, that costs the league money, and which is why it has to come down hard on the Ravens.
I agree. Is the other possibility, which people I've seen some have suggested, of this being moved to that, you know, hypothetical?
Absolutely not. You cannot allow the Ravens to benefit from this.
Right. I think I'm with you, but I think the NFL is going, they're going to try every which way to make sure that this game does happen and no forfeit happens. And, you know, I can really see the NFL being.
There won't be a forfeit. They would just not play the game. That's what would happen in that situation. The league is not interested in forfeits. Players aren't interested in forfeits. My feeling on this is, look, you ride this thing out. If they have to play the game Monday or Tuesday, so be it, because the Ravens should not benefit one iota from this thing. The Ravens should, you're forced to play with who you play with. Otherwise, you open the door then for a team to potentially, you're going to go get infected this week on a, you know, we're going to have to shut down. And, yeah. And because if you go to that, we want to buy this week. We don't want to play this week because so-and-so is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You can't allow a team to gain a competitive advantage because of its own stupidity. You just can't do it. It's flouting of the rules. It goes against everything that the NFL is or should be. And so, you know, I'm not in favor of necessarily canceling the game either, because that then opens the door for the eighth team in the playoffs. But it won't be just a forfeit. It won't be a situation where the Steelers get a free win out of this. That's right. Not going to happen. That's not on the table, because again, that upsets the competitive balance of the league. If anything, they would go to that week 18 game. I just feel like if that happens,
it sends the wrong message.
It sends the absolute wrong message that, hey, you can do this, get away with it. And maybe you'll get guys back that you wouldn't have had necessarily for that original game. It's just, you know, who's to say that the Steelers before week 18 don't lose Ben Roethlisberger? You know, there's all kinds of scenarios that could take place there. You know, you're supposed to, you know what the schedule was when it came out. You know what more importantly, you knew what the rules were. You knew what the rules were, and one of your coaches broke the rules.
Yep.
You should not benefit from that one iota.
I agree with you there. I think that the NFL needs to be tough on the Ravens right now. Again, this isn't a happenstance. This is one of y'all coaches messed up, and somebody needs to pony up for it. I think even even if this game does get played on Sunday, we're talking fines. We're talking, you know, all sorts of violations for all the hard.
When I'm talking loss of draft picks, I'm not saying they should lose like a fifth and a sixth rounder.
Right.
Oh, no. They should. We're talking first round. The first round pick should be on the table for this one.
It should be. We'll see if the NFL does take it that seriously. We're not sure if they will, but we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to get to the picks for the week so that you can get hopefully some non-COVID talk for the most of this segment. We'll do that right after this. Welcome back to the DK Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with my friend and co-host, Dale Lolly. Dale, it's time to do picks. Now, of course, we save the Steelers game for last, so we'll get to that in a bit. But we're jumping right into the Sunday games. And for the record, Dale and I tied again last week, so we continue to be neck and neck moving forward. Although I am up three games, if we want to use his method of match play, I believe I'm still up 1 week. So there's that. But
I thought I was up a week in match play.
No.
I thought we had five picks that were different last week. Help me tie.
No, we had four, because remember I switched one back.
Oh, yeah, after I made my pick.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, All right, let's get into these games. This one should be a fairly easy one in my eyes, unless you see it as an upset. 6-4 Raiders at 3-7 Falcons. Raiders coming off a very close game where they almost took the Chiefs. Falcons, they've been struggling this year. I'm going with the Raiders, Dale.
Falcons have played better under Raheem Morris. True. They have been a much more competent football team. The defense has actually been better under Morris, who is a defensive coach. Of course, cut his teeth on the same staff as Mike Tomlin. They're very close. But I don't see the Falcons winning this game. I'm going to go with the Raiders as well.
Las Vegas to Atlanta. All right. Now, this is another game I think should be pretty straightforward going to you like these guys. It's the 3-7 Chargers at the 7-3 Bills. I think it's a really exciting game for Herbert to be playing. I just blanked on his name. Your boy, the Bills quarterback,
Josh Allen.
Why couldn't I was going to say Josh Kelly. I just don't know why, but anyways, Josh Allen versus Justin Herbert, two young quarterbacks with huge arms. I think this has the potential to be a fun one, but the Bills are a better team. I'm going with them in this game.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Bills as well.
Moving right along, two teams with seven losses, but I think that there's a huge advantage here that just broke open. The 3-7 Giants at the 2-7-1 Bengals. I mean, Ryan Finley starting for the Bengals. I know
actually, he's not. They're going with another Allen. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who starts for the Bengals. The Giants are playing better football right now. The Giants are going to win this game.
Yeah, even as much as I can't stand Daniel Jones sometimes, he's going to do it more than enough to win this game. I'm with you on the Giants. It's another Allen.
All right. Might as well be starting Bo Bridges or somebody. It doesn't
right. Like, it. Like, you know, like, yeah,
the Big whatever. Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. Bubby Brister's back. Okay, here's a game that if it wasn't for Steelers-Ravens would be the game of the week. It's the 7-3 Titans at the 7-3 Colts. Dale, both these teams have been up and down. The Titans pulled off the upset on the Ravens last week. The Colts had a huge win last week. Man, this is tough for me. I'm going with the Colts because they're at home. Their defense just upset Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But I keep going back and forth in this game because of Derrick Henry and the Titans. They can be tough, but I'm going to go with the better defense of the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts have actually owned the Titans over the years. I'm going with the Colts as well on this one.
Moving along to a game that could be different. We'll see how this goes. But the Jaguars at 1-9 are hosting the 7-3 Browns. The Jaguars have announced Mike Glennon will be starting this game. The Browns, 7-3, of course. They've got Nick Chubb back. They've had their COVID players list go up and up throughout the week. But I still think that they just got too much going for them right now to lose this game on the road to the Jaguars, who are just continue to fall down into getting the number two pick this year.
Yeah, I don't see that changing here either. The Jaguars have lost 9 in a row. Make that 10 in a row after this one.
Now, here's an interesting game. You got the Carolina Panthers at the 4-6 Vikings. Panthers, of course, 4-7. I can't figure out the Panthers sometimes, man. Like, sometimes that they show up and they make it interesting. Sometimes they don't. I'm going with the Vikings. I think that their ability to run the ball is going to be able to carry them through this, though I do think that the Panthers defense might give Kirk Cousins and Adam Thielen some trouble. But I think the Vikings have enough guns to win this one at home.
Is Thielen going to be off the COVID list?
That's another question.
That's a big question in this one. I'm actually going to go with the Panthers in this one. I like what they did with Walker last week at quarterback. He should be their quarterback the rest of this season. Stop with this Teddy Bridgewater stuff. Check down. He stinks. He's awful. He should never get another job in the NFL other than a backup. Teddy Bridgewater's awful.
But at least you said backup. I thought you were saying like ever anywhere. I was like, geez.
Well, it's a waste of time because he stinks. He stinks. He's just bad.
I mean, you can say that he's not starting caliber, but I mean, come on. I mean, Mason Rudolph's got a job right now.
I'd rather have Mason Rudolph.
Teddy Bridgewater. Right,
at least Rudolph has the potential to get better. Bridgewater is what he is, and that's check down Charlie. He's a watered-down version of Alex Smith. He stinks.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I agree that he's not a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL right now, but that's much better than what Mason Rudolph did. Anyways,
he stinks.
Okay, whatever. Anyways, Arizona Cardinals at 6-4 at the 4-6 Patriots. I'm just going with the Cardinals. I know the Patriots have some mojo on defense. They had Damir Bird show up last week for Cam Newton, but I think the Cardinals got way too much going for them to drop this game.
Yeah, I'm taking the Cardinals. The Patriots stink worse than, well,
Yeah,
they stink.
they do stink. 6-4 Dolphins at 0-10 Jets. I mean, it's the Dolphins. It's the Jets. Brian Flores versus Adam Gase. I'm just gonna take the Dolphins. I don't have to even explain that.
Yeah, Dolphins.
Now this, I don't think this is gonna be an upset. I'm taking the Saints. They're 8-2 at the 4-6 Broncos. But you know the Broncos, they've had some you know upstart moments this year. But I'm sorry, I don't see it with this team. This Saints team is just that good on both sides of the ball. Even with Taysom Hill starting or whoever's got to play quarterback this week, they're gonna find a way to win this.
Yeah, this should be a relatively low-scoring game. Both defenses are playing well, but I'm taking the Saints.
Yeah, I'll trust them to not put Taysom Hill into mistake-making mode, whereas the Broncos, I mean, come on. The Drew Lock, Ryan Philly, have fun with that with those quarterbacks, Jeff Driscoll or whoever that is. Moving along here, got the 4-6 Niners at the 7-3 Rams. I mean, the Niners are just a mash unit. The Rams are on fire.
Yeah, the Rams are playing well. I think you could make the argument that maybe they're the best team in the NFC. They're certainly in that conversation, and I will take them in this game.
You'll take them in that game? All right, now here is another game that could be called Game of the Week. The 9-1 Chiefs at the 7-4 Buccaneers. Buccaneers, they need to find an answer. They need to come through because they're 7-4. They're in a competitive NFC right now. The Chiefs, 9-1 on the road. It's Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. Everyone's going to be watching this game. I think it's going to be exciting, but I'm going with the Chiefs, Dale. I think that they keep their mojo going even on the road against the Buccaneers.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers in this one. This game is not being played in primetime. The Bucs this year are 1-3 in primetime games. Brady has not looked great, but I think he'll get enough done against his Chiefs defense, which is horrendous. They're terrible. Horrendous defense.
They are horrible. They are terrible. They are all the things. I do like what the Buccaneers are putting together on defense. Antoine Winfield is the safety that I thought he would be. Jordan Whitehead's really played well for them as well. They got Devin White up the middle. I do like a lot of things about this Buccaneers team. I have a hard time picking against Pat Mahomes, even on the road here. But we will see. All right, time for some Sunday night football. It's the oldest rivalry in the NFL, the Bears at the Packers.
Packers.
I was just going to at least set it up for you, but no, never mind. You're right, it's the Packers. I'm not picking them.
Yeah, there's not even any reason to talk. The Bears are terrible.
Yeah, they're bad. And I think we could say the same thing about here. 7-3 Seahawks at 3-6-1 Eagles. I mean, the Seahawks defense does stink, but it's Russell Wilson versus Carson Wentz, and I'm taking Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks here, even though I think they're a fraud.
I think the defense is weak sauce, but I think that Russell Wilson, he could pull their fat out of the fire in plenty of games. And if Carson Wentz can stop playing horrendously, then maybe I think even if he does that, Russell Wilson will say, oh, okay, I got to up my game. Let me do that against the Eagles defense that hasn't been too great this year either. And of course, it's time to pick Steelers versus Ravens. Now, Dale, this is crazy. This is all up in the air. No Lamar Jackson, no J.K. Dobbins, no Mark Ingram, no Calais Campbell. Brandon Williams, the one player that might come back because he was a close contact, but no Pernell McPhee. They're down to their third-string center. I think Tristan Connor, whatever his name is. He's the third-string rookie, undrafted rookie at center.
I believe it's Tristan Hykalonic is the guy's name.
There you go, right there. And that's what, like, they're down to that guy. He's going to have to stuff Stephon Tuitt, Cam Hayward, and Tyson Alualu for an entire game against a Steelers team that's upset. You and I were pretty close. We're a lot closer in our predictions that we gave out before this all happened. Now that gap has widened, I presume.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at this, you know, they played Gus Edwards and RG3 last year. And that was a 16-10 game going into the fourth quarter with Duck Hodges at quarterback. This one will not be that close. What the Ravens, all those guys that you said they will not have, no Campbell, no this, no that, no chance. Yeah. The Ravens have no chance in this football game. They are going to be blown out. I look for the Steelers to win this one. Let's say 34, we'll say 34-13.
I'm along the similar lines. I'm saying 38-9. I think that I had Ben Roethlisberger having a big week anyways. I think it even gets bigger now with the less pressure that's on the Steelers with this from the Ravens offense. I think they put up some serious numbers in the defense. The turnovers because RG3 is going to be at quarterback.
Throw for 100 yards in that game last year.
He didn't, exactly. And here's the other thing with that game is that the Steelers, they were worn down. That defense had been battling to win games basically by themselves for the entire season. And now this is a much different situation. They're coming off a full week. They're at home. The Ravens are the ones that are battered and bruised right now. And Ben Roethlisberger is going to be quarterbacking to not keep putting them in rough situations. I think this is a game that the Steelers tear them apart. This is going to be
one. Every time if I'm the Steelers, every time I score, I just look at Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
And
point at him. And do they remember the Titans? Just be like, yeah. Just point at him. Like, give.
This is on you, pal.
Yeah, like you did this to yourself.
Yeah. Is that respectful enough for you, John?
Woo! Dale with the sauce here. Okay, Dale, yeah. Bringing the fire.
He's not my favorite guy.
No, I understand that. He's not Mike Vrabel's favorite guy, apparently, either. I know that wasn't, they didn't actually fight, but you did. But they released the audio for the encounter before the game, and you saw he was like, that's disrespectful. You're like, so,
Go coach high school. Go coach a high school.
I like Dale when he talks smack, man. It's so funny. That's why I try to rile him up with our fantasy football talk. By the way, Antonio Gibson put up 40 points on Thanksgiving, so I'm just saying that. Dale, both of us have this being a blowout win. This is a crazy update. My friend, I hope you can get some rest with your Saturday. And
yeah, that's not happening.
I'll be covering double duty. I got Pitt versus Drexel and Pitt versus Clemson, both on the same day on Saturday. But if the game does happen on Sunday, Dale will be there right at Heinz Field. You can listen, you can read and see all the covers that we bring to DKPittsburghSports.com, which you can subscribe to for $4.99 a month, $39.99 a year. And of course, we will have all updates coming to you on the DK Podcast Network after the game. Dale, thanks so much for coming on the show. Don't you go away, listeners. We've got the Showtime segment coming up. Right. Welcome to the Showtime segment of the DK Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. And so we didn't get to do this for the show going into Thursday, so we're going to do it for Friday. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving and you got to eat good food, virtually spend time with family that you're in your bubble with, doing all the safe things. But guys and girls, we can still get to do some Steelers football this weekend, hopefully. But I'm going to give you, as always, showtime. We do game balls. I'll pick my top three players I expect to perform this weekend for the Steelers and be the players of the game. Then we're going to give you some last-minute fantasy advice for your weekend. First of all, game balls. My number one game ball, and if you've been listening to the show, I try to stay away from the obvious ones like this guy, but I just think he's going to have a heck of a day. Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's going to go ballistic against these Ravens. I think that he's been feeling it lately. He knows how to beat the Ravens. He's going to dissect them. I think that he's going to figure things out. It might take a little bit. They are slow starting offense. But I think by the end of this one, he's got four touchdown passes. And we're looking at, a lot of Sports Center highlights where they're going to have, they do have to finally give the Steelers more props just because he's lighting up this team, even though they'll probably say, oh, the COVID got the Ravens, but who cares? I think that Ben Roethlisberger capitalizes on this moment. The player I think he's going to hit the most in this game is Deontay Johnson. I think that, and I said this before, it didn't come to fruition against the Ravens really, but I think that Deontay Johnson's style of being a receiver is the worst nightmare for the Ravens. I think that he's going to cause serious problems for them, and I think he's who cuts them up. I mean, don't forget, again, last week when they played the Titans, the Ravens were having a tackling problem with receivers. They were not getting on their jumps against receivers. I think that Deontay Johnson's shiftiness, his route running, is going to all be a problem. It could be Chase Claypool, too. He might also be the guy, but I think Deontay breaks a couple plays loose for the Steelers and becomes a serious threat throughout the entire game. My last game ball, I'm going on defense. I normally try to go with a pass rusher in these games against Lamar Jackson. But I really think Terrell Edmonds might go back-to-back for us. He's feeling it. This guy's been playing well all season. And this is a game where you could really use him. No, I take it back. No Terrell Edmonds. Mike Hilton's back, baby. And they're going to use him. And he has a thing on Lamar Jackson. When Lamar Jackson tries to run, he's all over it. Even when Lamar Jackson was a rookie and you know, we still didn't know all of his capabilities, Mike Hilton, you know, had to make a play out in space, locked him down, no problem. He's intercepted Lamar Jackson. He sacked Lamar Jackson. I think Mike Hilton in this game returns to his, you know, I wouldn't say unsung hero-ness because he is, you know, people do sing his praises, but he reminds everyone why he's important to this Steelers defense. So he gets my third game ball prediction here. We're going Ben, Deontay, and Hilton. All that for the offense and the defense. Now, let's go to some last-minute fantasy advice here. Just looking at this weekend, you know, you got your obvious plays like your Derek Carr against the Falcons, who are their defense. I mean, they're getting better, but still, I think that, like Dale said, I think that this is a situation where the Raiders pull this out. I would seriously consider, I know that Tua Tagovailoa disappointed you guys last week when he got benched. I would consider playing him against the Jets because they're that bad that he could probably find his mojo again. And even if he's just running a lot, I think he's going to get good points this weekend. I would also put Daniel Jones for the Giants against that Bengals defense. I think that he could have a really good day against them. Looking at the other playmakers that could go off this week, do pay attention to Washington. They're going up against Dallas. Dallas's defense has been horrendous. Antonio Gibson, start him every week now. He's been on fire. I think he's been a flex in my league where I'm playing Dale. Where I'm not playing Dale this week, but it's Dale's league that he invited me into. And oh, by the way, I'm on like a 5-game win streak right now. Oh, check your boy out. Remember when I was 1-6? I'm 5-6 now. So I guess it's a 4-game win streak. My math stinks. But my team is good because I got Patrick Mahomes, James Robinson, Nick Chubb, Antonio Gibson, DK Metcalf, and Deontay Johnson coming off the bench. The bench! Anyways, play Terry McLaurin this week too. He's gonna ball out. I also have him as well. Nelson Aguilar, absolutely. For that Falcons-Raiders game, I think he could be a big guy that comes up for them. Hunter Henry, I know the Bills' defense has respect, but the tight end has been giving them some fits this year for the Chargers. I'm going with Hunter Henry. That's your last-minute fantasy advice here on the DK Steelers podcast in the Showtime segment. Those are the guys that we expect to show out in the big moments. Thanks so much for listening to the show this week. Have a happy weekend. Hope you get to enjoy the long holiday weekend. You're staying safe. You're eating good. And we'll be back in your ears after the Steelers play the Ravens on Sunday. Don't forget to rate us 5 stars. Leave us a positive comment on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe to us. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere podcasts are hosted. And, of course, subscribe to DKPittsburghSports.com. $4.99 a month, $39.99 a year. Pirates, Steelers, Penguins, Pitt, Penn State, Duquesne, all in one place just for you. Have a great weekend, y'all. We'll be back in your ears soon.